Father, we lift your name in this place. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy unfailing. And Lord, for all your faithfulness to us here. And Lord, we pray that as we glorify you this morning, that we would honor your name. And Lord, that we would draw close to you in your presence. We ask it all for your glory. Amen. Amen. Please do have your seats just a second. You're very welcome to be here this morning. Hopefully you've all got one of these and that's got everything that's happening on the back. That'll be good. There's all kinds of newfangled things going on there. The QR code is on there for the website and, well, everything. And then I have put some of these are out and about. These are looking forward to our gift day on the 29th of June for the renovations that you can see actually happening. So the grey chairs are back and the wall is going on. So things are changing. So that's good. Those envelopes are there. And last but not least, on the last Saturday of the month, we have a ladies' afternoon tea. Today we start summer, it's June the 1st, we are having a nice summer afternoon tea starting at 2 p.m. But those little flyers are there, use them as invitations, give them away to people. That would be great, and get them to come along. Now God is with us in all that we do, and I just want to read a little section from... not play my guitar at the same time. Read a section from the Bible. It's one of my favourite psalms. So Psalm 96, it's a very singy one, but starting at verse 7 this time. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, so this is when we go out and say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And he will judge the peoples with equity. We can rely on him. He is our faithful and true judge. And will bring true justice into the world. So Nathan's going to talk from Nehemiah later on. And we're thinking about when things go wrong a bit. And so it can often knock you back a little bit. But we know that God is always with us. So our songs are reflecting that God is always with us. So let's stand and worship together and join together with I Call You Faithful. You've been so good to me.
Thank you.
And then we have 10,000 reasons to bless the Lord. In, we do not fear because we know that ultimately the battle belongs to the Lord.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
let's raise up prayers. Let's raise up that standard as we worship together. Please do feel free to pray around the room and worship the Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you pour yourself and your spirit into our lives day by day. And Lord, when we face the darkness, help us to remember that the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not our fight. Father, we pray that you would continue to bless us this morning. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. Amen. Apparently, I'm onto a sure thing this morning, so that's a good thing. I am going to ask, has anyone had a birthday in the past few days? Or in the next few days? I thought I had a sure thing here. She's shy. No? Ah, okay. She wants to have a look in the birthday box at the end. That's fine. We understand a bit of shyness. Not everyone wants to be up in front of this many faces, but it is wonderful to see you all. So don't forget, don't go without taking something. And God bless you as you celebrate. Has it been or is it coming? Has it been or is it coming? Has it been or is it coming? Ah, oh, bless you. Oh, well, I hope you had a lovely time. Nice to have school holiday as well. That's exciting. Let's pray for our children and young people as they're going to go out to their different groups, and the creche and everything's all up there. So please, if you have family with you and you're not familiar with the church, follow the crowd. There will be a group that is age appropriate for your children, so please do follow the crowd, and then you get to come back in a moment. But let's pray for our young people and children first. Father, we thank you. We really do consider it a privilege to have children and young people here and a part of the fellowship. And Lord, exercising their gifts in so many ways already. And Lord, we thank you and bless you for all that you are about to do in their different groups. Lord, we pray for the leaders and the assistants, and we ask that you would bless them for the preparation that they have done. Father God, we ask too that these children and young people who are a part of our church would continue to walk in your way, that they would stay close all the days of their lives. Father, protect them and bless them. Bless those who are studying and working hard at the moment. And Lord, we pray that through exam season you would guide them and protect them. And Lord, help them not to become anxious about things. Father, we trust in you. We give everyone into your hands. Amen. And the children are going to go off to their groups now. We're going to remain seated to let them do that and sing still. Was it the last little bit that we did? As we come before God now, let's bow before him in prayer and be still and leave everything in his hands. I will pray, but please do feel welcome to join in and pray as well. Father, we bring everything before you. Lord, we know that in the earth there is so much turmoil. Lord, whether it's natural disasters or wars or rumours of wars, and that there are so many of our world leaders who are willing to stir things up. Father, we ask that you would have your hand over that. And Lord, we pray for those who have no homes left. Father, for those who have been bombed out of existence. Lord, we pray for those who grieve. And Father, we bring it before you. We know that you are the only one. And Lord, we pray that by still waters you would lead them. Father, we pray for your local church in all of those different areas. Lord, for all that they have to do. Lord, help them to be comforting and protecting and looking after anyone they can. And Father, we pray over all that your forgiveness would cover these situations. Father, we do pray now that you would hear our prayers. As we come before you now, please do feel free to bring a prayer before God. Obviously got a gremlin in the machine this morning. We're having a bit of a squeal there. But before Nathan comes to speak to us, let's lean hard, lean hard, lean on the everlasting arms. Please do stand if you're able and we'll sing together.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are a dependable God. Unlike technology, you are dependable. You never fail. And we're so grateful that we can lean on your everlasting arms when we're weak, when we're tired, when we're not feeling our best, when we trip up and we fall. We thank you that you're always there, ready to pick us up and put us back on the right path. So we just celebrate your goodness, your faithfulness. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you most of all for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. He came and he died, he suffered on the cross, so that we could know the forgiveness of our sins, that we could have peace in our hearts, and that we could have eternal life that's only made possible through Jesus Christ. So thank you so much for everyone here this morning. We all have different stories, different challenges, but you are the great God. And we want to depend on you. And we pray, Lord, that you would just come now and sort out the technology issues so that, Lord, your word can go forth. Would you speak to our hearts now and get the glory out of our time of sharing? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to see you all, church. Good morning to you all. And as you can see, we're in a work in progress here. With the changes to the sound system, so please give us some patience as we're trying to make things better for us all. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series. We're going through the book of Nehemiah, and the series is entitled, We Have Work to Do. We Have Work to Do. And we've arrived at part number three of this sermon series, and just to establish our context today, I'm going to call your attention to the screens if it's able to work, and we're going to watch a short video clip that's going to be the introduction to the message today. Thank you. I want to speak today from this thought: is trouble a sign that we're on the wrong path? Is trouble a sign that we are on the wrong path? I want to read a few verses from Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, and it reads like this: when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger, vilifying the Jews. In the company of his Samaritan cronies and military, he let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think that they can get everything back to normal overnight? Make building stones out of make-believe? And at his side was Tobiah, the Ammonite, jumped in and said, "That's right. What do they think they're building? Why, if a fox climbed the wall, it would fall to pieces under his weight." But verse 4 says, "But Nehemiah prayed, 'Oh, listen to us, dear God. We're so despised.' Boomerang their ridicule on their heads. Have their enemies cart them off as war trophies to a land of no return. Don't forgive their iniquity. Don't wipe away their sin. They've insulted the builders." They have insulted the builders. Church, what I love about the short clip that we just perused on the screen, it's a lovely clip, an inspirational clip. But in a real sense, Derek's story, Derek Redmond, British Olympian, his story from the record books is one of defeat. Derek did not finish the race as a champion. Derek did not finish the race as a winner, per se, according to the record books. Derek did not achieve the ultimate dream of becoming a gold medalist, or a silver medalist, or a bronze medalist. According to the record books, church, Derek did not even come in at fourth place, fifth place. But Derek came in at last place. So from a competition point of view, Derek's story does not have any victory associated to his race. But if you watch the clip, although he did not win the race, per se, but his story has a greater meaning than just becoming the first place winner, or the silver medalist, or the bronze medalist. Because in a real sense, for all of us here today, when we start a race, whether it's to build something for God, whether it's to start a new project in our families, whether it's to step out in faith, to try something new, the reality for all of us is this wonderful truth: that it's not how you start the journey, but it's how you finish the task at hand. You see, it's one thing to start the race, and it's one thing to head towards the finish line, ready to receive the crown. But often we don't talk about what happens in between the start and the finish. What happens in between starting out and concluding the task or the project? Allow me just to put a £1 in the parking meter and just park here for a moment. Well, £1 used to work to park your car back in the day, but not anymore. But I believe that just like Nehemiah, maybe there's people around this church today, you've become frustrated in the middle of the race. You have become tired and weary in the middle of the race. You started out with passion and with excitement, vigor. You were ready to go. You were inspired to start the race. Do you remember the days, for those of you who've been serving the Lord for a long time, do you remember the day you gave your life to Christ? Do you remember how exciting it was? Do you remember the joy that just came into your soul? If you could run a marathon, you would do it. Because you were on fire. The Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has come into your life. But if we're honest, as we head out on this new journey, sometimes we can become weary and tired along the way. Because just like Derek, there can be a fall. Just like Derek, we can become injured along the way. Just like Derek, he pulled his hamstring. He torn his hamstring literally off the bone, which caused him to fall to the ground. And maybe for us, as we've been running this Christian race, maybe it wasn't a literal torn hamstring, but maybe the enemy put some things in our way that caused us to feel defeated, that caused us to feel as if we were falling to the ground. But I want to encourage you today, it's not how you start the race, but it's how you can endure even until the end. And I want to encourage someone just here on the start, that you may feel tired with life, you may feel weary, you may feel down and out. But I want to encourage you that the same God, the same Jesus who allowed you and inspired you to start the race for him, he is the same one. He is faithful, just as we've been singing, that even when we fall, we can lean on the everlasting arms of God. He will allow us to get back on our spiritual feet and to keep on running the race with victory even until the end. Someone needs to hear that encouragement today. You may have tripped up and fallen to the ground, but you are not down and out. The enemy may think you're out, but you are not down and out. Because just like you saw in the video clip, who came running to Derek's attention? It was his father. The father came out from the stands. He saw that his son was in a bad way and in bad shape. And he said, "My son needs some assistance. My son needs some help." And I'm here to encourage you today. Our Father, he sees and he knows. He knows exactly what his children are going through. And even if his children fall to the ground, he will send his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to pick his children up again, to give them a fresh start, to forgive them, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness, and to give them the inspiration and the vigor to run the race again. Run it. Hallelujah. Keep on running until the end. So it's not how we start the race, but it's how we can endure even until the end. And such was the case for Nehemiah, church. Over the past few weeks, we have seen how Nehemiah was inspired to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem after receiving the report from his brethren that the walls in Jerusalem was in a dire state. The walls are in disrepair. So Nehemiah got word from the king of Persia and the authorization of leave of absence to return to Jerusalem to start rebuilding the walls. And you remember how Nehemiah inspected the walls with two associates in the night, preparing everything, making sure everything was right to start the work. And then he goes and he inspires the Jews and says, "Come guys, it's time to get to work. It's time to work and get this wall back in a good place." But as soon as Nehemiah and the Jews started to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, here comes trouble. As soon as they were doing the work of God, as soon as they were fulfilling the plan and the will of God, just around the corner, here comes trouble. And I want to just say here, it's very important for us, friends, because sometimes in our own human estimation, we think in our humanity that if we are in the will of God and we are doing what God wants us to do and we are obedient to God, sometimes in our humanity, we think that automatically doing the right thing for God, being obedient to God, will automatically mean that there will be no trouble along the way. And if we're not careful, we may think that because trouble has come on our way, in our way, we think that, am I on the right track? Is this what God wants me to do? Because we think that if God has called us to do something, and he wants us to do something for him, then it will be a smooth journey. That he will make the plane smooth for us. Not so. Sometimes when we're doing the will of God, that's when all hell will break loose on our journey. So we've got to be prepared for that, because the enemy does not want us to do the right thing. When we're serving the devil's interests in the world, sometimes it can be easier to do the devil's business. Because why would the devil want to fight us if we're doing his business? But as soon as our spiritual eyes are open to do the will of God, that's when the enemy throws a tantrum. And he says, what is he doing? What is she doing? They're no longer wanting to do my will anymore. Now they want to serve the interests of God. Now let me try and inflict some trouble on their way so that they will stop doing the will of God and turn back to doing my business. I want to encourage the church today. You may feel as if that you just feel tired trying to do the right thing, but don't give up. Be not weary, the Bible says, in well-doing. For in due season, you shall reap a harvest if you do not faint. Don't stop trying to do the right thing because trouble is on your way. But keep doing the right thing despite the trouble that the enemy wants to bring our way. Amen? So the application here, it's easy to think that trouble or difficulty is a direct sign that maybe we're on the wrong path. But Nehemiah teaches us that even though we may be building in the right direction, although we may be doing the right thing, sometimes the enemy will bring his cronies to try and knock us off the path. Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they came to mock the Jews. What are you doing? This ain't going to work. Look at the materials and the resources that you have. Absolute rubbish. This ain't going to amount to anything. And then they even started to tell lies and say that, Nehemiah, you're building without the king's consent. But that was not the case, because Nehemiah received the authorization from the king to start rebuilding the walls. So trouble is normal when we're trying to do the right thing for God. But secondly, we also see here from the text the complication, and I've taken this from the old adage, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can hurt. Can you say that with me? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can hurt. Now, I know the old adage puts it differently and says that words will never hurt. And I know that sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, words will never hurt me. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but no matter what you say, it's not going to hurt me. But we know that, that's so far from the truth. Words can have the power to bring us down. And for Nehemiah, as he's trying to do the right thing, leading the Jews to rebuild the walls, now here comes the opposition, taunting them. What are you doing? What are you doing? You guys ain't going to amount to anything. Words are so powerful. They can inspire and build up, but they can also tear down. I'll never forget, I think I've shared here before, when I was around about 10 years of age, and my first instrument that was dear to my heart, still love it to this day, but my first instrument that I loved, I mean, I just absolutely loved this instrument, is of course the drums. That's my first instrument that's close to my heart, the drums. And in my former church, I loved just any opportunity that I could to play the drums. In those days, it's not like how we have it organized in this church, where there's a rotor and everyone gets a turn. But that wasn't the case then. It was a set musician band, and the only time you would get a looking is if someone didn't turn up for whatever reason. And I'll never forget, the main drummer did not turn up one of the evening services, and I said, well, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. I'm going to deputize. I'm going to make myself available as a 10-year-old to go and play the drums for the evening service. And I did my best, church. I played to the best of my ability. And I'll never forget the person who was leading the worship that particular Sunday evening. After the service, came to me and said to me as a 10-year-old, you have destroyed the service. I'm serious. You messed up the service. I remember going down to that toilet just down in the basement of the church and crying. Weeping. I remember going home and telling my parents, and I saw a side to my mum that I've never seen before. But I remember for years later, every time I saw that woman in the church, there was a little feeling. I remember the words that you spoke to me when I was a 10-year-old. Because words are powerful, church. They can lift you up, but they also can bring you down. And I had to battle internally with what she said. It knocked my confidence. I was a shy person as it is, and still am to this day, believe it or not. So can you imagine? It took a lot to get back on the drum set again and to play. But what I love and I thank God for is, although I had some struggle in the initial process, it did not kill me. Because it inspired me, although I knew at the time that I wasn't as good as some of the other guys in the church who were playing the drum. But it inspired me, well, if I can't make it to play the drums in the church, then I'll learn another instrument. I started playing the keyboard, and I would play next to the main keyboard player and just pick up as much as I could. And eventually, around about 16 years of age, I became the main keyboard player in the church. I don't say that to boast, but I say that to encourage anyone here today. It's not how you start. You may get knocked down, but keep your trust and faith in God. Don't allow words to kill your destiny. Don't allow words and taunts and threats to hold you back from pursuing what God has put in your heart. And I thank God for Nehemiah. Although Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, they came against the Jews. But Nehemiah said, no, no, no. We know exactly what God has put in our hearts. We're not going to allow you to stop us from rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You can say what you want to say. You can disagree. You can say all these evil words against us. But we are going to continue the good work that God has called us to do. And someone needs to hear that today. There may be some harsh words against you, but keep on building for God. Keep on growing. Keep on doing what God has called you to do. Amen? Amen. But finally, church, not only do we see that trouble is part and parcel of doing the right thing for God. You can't demarcate trouble from from doing the will of God. Just because trouble is along your way, it does not mean that you are outside of God's will. No, no, no. It's just like the man in the gospel. Do you remember the story when there was a blind man? And some of the disciples, the religious leaders, they said, who sinned? Was it this man or his parents? In other words, what they were saying is who is responsible for this man's condition? Who did something wrong? And then Jesus replied, nobody did anything wrong. The reason why he's in this condition is so that the glory of God can be revealed in his situation. And he healed the man of his condition. Sometimes people want to point the fingers. Ooh, what happened here? Who did something wrong? Ooh, what happened here? He's sick because he did something wrong. She's not well, maybe because she done something wrong in her life. We have to be careful, church, about the words that we say. Just because trouble is along on our path, it does not mean that something has gone wrong internally. Amen? But finally, I want to leave with you today. Not only is trouble part and parcel of the journey, not only can words bring us down, but also inspire us. But finally today, here's the resolution and the celebration. Resistance can cause frustration, but resistance cannot stop what God has authorized. Oh, I want to say that again. Resistance cannot stop what God has authorized. Now, for Derek Redmond in the 1992 Olympics, although Derek was unable to be medaled as a gold or silver or bronze, although he finished the race last place, I love the fact that he had the desire and the tenacity to get up and continue running the race. He was determined, although his competition were long gone, they had already finished the race. But Derek was determined to get back on his feet and hop, 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 hop along. Hop along to the finish line. I love this. Because this lets us know that although there may be injury, although there may be a setback on the race, I love the fact that Derek had it in his heart to say, you know what, although my competition is already long gone, I am going to resume the race, and my desire is to finish what I have started. I want to encourage you today. I don't know what you are building in your own personal lives. I don't know what project you are working on in this season of your life. Maybe you have come across some resistance. Maybe you have had a setback. Maybe you've had an injury along the way. But I want to encourage you, and even if you have seen others exceed and excel, and they have finished the task at hand, and you're wondering, when am I going to finish? When am I going to complete the task at hand? Well, I'm here to encourage you, church, that although there may be resistance, if God has given you the goal of completing the task, then even if you come in at fourth place, fifth place, sixth place, seventh place, last place, he will give you the strength to complete the race at hand. How many of you believe that this morning? I don't care where I come, but the good news is, even Jesus says, the last shall be. So even if I finish last place, in the kingdom, last place is a good place. I don't care if it's last place, middle place, or first place, as long as we finish the race. And I love, again, that picture of the Father coming down from the stands to assist Derek in completing the race. Oh, hallelujah. That lets us know that we're not alone on the race. You may not see the Father running alongside you, but I'm here to encourage you that he's there. He will never leave nor forsake you. Whatever you are going through, whatever trouble is on your path, the Father is right there. In the good times and in the bad times, in the happy times and even in the sad times, I thank God that He's always there. I'm going to close now, but I want to pray, because I sense in my spirit all week long that someone is tired. Someone is weary. And like Nehemiah and like the Jews, maybe you've come to the point where you're feeling perplexed and anxious and worried. Do I have what it takes to finish the job? Do I have what it takes to finish the race? Maybe there's a Christian here today. You recently started out on this new journey, but you've been left wondering, do I have what it takes to see this thing through? Maybe I should turn back on the old path. Things were a little bit easier back then. I want to encourage you today that He that has begun a good work in you, He shall complete the work even unto the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you, but if there's someone here today, there's someone here today that needs that encouragement, I want to encourage you today, keep on running the race. Even if you have to hop. Even if you have to get back off the ground, keep on running the race. Don't worry about the competition. Keep on running the race. And in closing, what I love about Nehemiah, although Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem wanted to prevent the Jews from completing the job, in 52 days, in 52 days, the Jews were able to complete the task and the walls were rebuilt. Be encouraged today, wherever you are at in the journey, God will help you to complete the race and to finish the task at hand. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And just like Derek, all of us at times feel as if we are finished, injured, thrown to the ground, out for the count. Sometimes we feel like it's over. And there's no hope. But we thank you so much that you never discard us, even when we fall to the ground. You never, ever leave us abandoned. But you're always there, ready to pick us up again so that we can continue the race that we have started. So I pray for anyone here today, Lord, if there's anyone who feels weary, who feels tired, who feels anxious, who feels like they just don't have any energy anymore, Lord, I pray that you would revive, restore, replenish. Oh, Lord, would you revive that which has been broken, that your people will be able to keep on running that race. Running that race with patience, even until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray against those Sanballats and those Tobias and those Geshems, those individuals that the enemy has inspired, Lord, to speak those harsh words into our hearts, to tear us down, and to make us think as if we can't do the work. I pray that you would protect us against those cruel words, that we would not forget what you have spoken, that we would not listen, Lord, to those words of the enemy. And we pray, Lord, that you would just allow us by your grace, even if we come in at last place, allow us to finish the race so that we can look forward to that crown one day, that well done, thou good and faithful servant, come on up. And I will make you ruler over many. We thank you for the great hope that we have in Jesus. And we thank you that you are giving us all that we need to complete the task that you have entrusted into your hands. So we give you praise now. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close the service. Amen. Hallelujah.
I can't get the, there's words in Hebrews 12, I think, that say that God is the author and the perfecter of our faith. So he writes our story and he will carry it through to completion. So let's fix our eyes on him. Let's appeal to him and say, be thou my vision. And then all else will fade into the distance.
The glory. And I want to encourage anyone here today, in order to complete the race, you need someone to help you start the race. And the only one that can help us to start this wonderful spiritual race, although it's not an easy road, but it's the best road that anyone could ever take, and that is only made possible through Jesus Christ. The Father sent his Son so that you and I can run this Christian race. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, then there's no hope in completing the race. It's only made possible through Jesus. that we can complete the race. Amen. So if there's anyone here today that has not yet embraced faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, bless you. If there's anyone that wants to know Jesus Christ for themselves, then today will be a great day to get to know him. He will help you start and complete the race. Whatever happens in between, the falls, the trips, the injuries, he'll be right there with you. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Yes. If you're here today and you want to know Jesus, please raise your hand in faith and say, "Preacher, I want to know the Lord Jesus Christ for myself." Would there be one here today that wants to know Jesus Christ for themselves? Is there anyone here today that wants to know Jesus? You want to know Jesus? Amen. Praise God for that. Claire. Claire's running her race. Amen. To God be the glory. Just a few things before we close in prayer. We really need your help. Tomorrow, church, we're going to be releasing our brand new podcast. It's called the Encounter Podcast. And we really need your support. We need your help. There's been a lot of work that's gone into this behind the scenes. So please, church, we need you to help us. Let's support our own. It's important that we support our own. We like and follow and subscribe to all the other things out there. But sometimes we don't show the same support to our own. So I'm lovingly encouraging us, please support the podcast. It's coming out tomorrow. You can listen to the podcast on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to it on the church Facebook page. You can also listen to it on YouTube. You just put in the Encounter Podcast. There are many ways you can watch it or listen to it, but please do listen to it. Like, subscribe, comment. We'd love to hear your feedback on it. The first episode, we're talking about grief and loss. So if you know anyone who's going through grief, going through loss, going through the grieving process, this will be a good one to share by way of evangelism to someone. So please support. It's coming out tomorrow. Just head to the church Facebook page, and that will give you all the information that you need to get the access to the podcast. Can you do that for us, church?
Yes.
Thank you so much. That'll be a blessing. For those who are going to be baptized in a few weeks, after the service, we're going to have, after fellowship, please come back in here, and we're going to have our baptismal class prep. Hey, amen. Good. We're excited. Good. So about 20 minutes after, get yourself a tea and coffee, and then we'll come back in here for our baptismal class. Amen? All right, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this service. We thank you, Lord, that you are always with us, even when we fall, even when there's injury, even when there's setbacks along the path. We thank you that you're always there to help us to get back on our feet. And we pray, Lord, as we leave this place, but never depart from your presence. Give us the grace and the strength to keep on running this race for your glory and for your honor. And now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us one day faultless before the glory of his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory, majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all God's children, let us say, amen. 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 God bless you, church. Love you. Bless you.
Salvation, but
of mercy, whispers of love.